you want to make sure you don't send an email, for example, with a very, very high open rate subject line that has nothing to do with your business, right? Because then you've gotten maybe the first part of that funnel. You've answered, oh, I got open rates. I got 30% open rate. Phenomenal. If you get 0% click, you have failed at that message. So don't optimize for the wrong part of this. Optimize for the whole journey.
For folks watching and listening, this is a moderated presentation with Trevor Longino. We're going to be talking about marketing. We're going to be talking about validating your startup. Trevor has a presentation prepared, and with his theater background, I think it will be entertaining.
Sure. Howdy, I'm Trevor. I'm founder and CEO of Crowd Tamers. I ran an agency. I was fractional CMO or full-time CMO for a whole bunch of different startups. I have launched 40-ish startups, many of them unsuccessfully. As one does, but I've launched 13 to more than $2 million a year in revenue. And the more recent in my background you go, the more frequently my successes come, because the whole purpose of today's talk, right, build, iterate, and scale. I started doing this 20 years ago. I wasn't that good at it, but through iteration, I have developed mental tool sets that help me figure out the right way to position and build and grow companies. And I would love to share that information with you. So what we're going to run through today is I give it in two different formats. One is like a two-hour workshop. Oh, we don't have 2 hours. I've got the other version is a 20-minute sprint. So buckle on your seatbelts. Hold on. We're going to see if I can speak like an old-fashioned Kentucky auctioneer to get through all of these slides as fast as possible. So taking your startup to $2 million a year in revenue is simple, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. Among the first things you have to think of is many of the people who are joining this discussion, you are builders, right? That's why you got into Indie World. Why? That's why you got into making a company, is you want to create a cool product. And that is a key component to building and iterating and scaling your business. But it is not what's going to get you to the scale part, right? Building is the first part. Then you have to iterate through the messaging, the brand, the positioning, and figure out how to hit that scale. So if you've studied at all marketing, you probably know the idea of a revenue funnel, right? From people who've never heard of you all the way to people who are currently your customers and you're trying to keep them around for a long time. I don't actually like the funnel model much, because at the bottom, everybody drops out and you're done with them. And so this graphic, it comes from HubSpot. It's seen a bunch of places. It's the flywheel, right? The idea of, instead of attract, convert, close, delight being sequential steps at the bottom, which you're now done with somebody, we have attract, convert, and retain. And this all is driven by the hub of growth. And growth is an intersection of more than just your marketing team. It's not just a growth hacker who's a dude with spreadsheets and, you know, a couple of Zapier automations who's going to make you a bunch of money because he's a genius at somehow scraping Reddit. Like, growth is integral to what you're doing with your business. So each of these three big chunks that is powered in a flywheel around your growth mechanism, I want to give you the mental models that I have developed over years to orderly go through how to make all of this work into a coherent picture, whether it's a team of one or a team of 40, the same principles are going to apply. I imagine most of us on this call are closer to the team of one size. So the first part of this is attract, right? You've got to bring people in to know about you. And that begins with, usually for any of us on the online marketing space, some type of exposure, right? Facebook, SEO, paid advertisements, you get PR on Entrepreneur Magazine, whatever it is. Somebody finds you, and then they have to make a decision point. Each of these little black dots is an inflection point where somebody is making the option to either go further through this flywheel or jump off and they're done with you. For now, at least. Frequently, people will jump off at one point and come back in again and progress further along. So exposure comes, so they have to figure out something about you, right? They have to come to your website. So when you have control over the exposure, which you usually do if it's paid, and once you understand your branding and your messaging and the right way to talk about your business, even on PR or somebody else writing about you or somebody else retweeting you or whatever, you have some control now because you've shaped the messaging. You want to make sure that is appealing to make people come check you out. Not just anybody, of course. You want to bring people who are in your buyer persona and ideally are either at the beginning or just before the beginning of looking to buy the kind of thing you do. So they come to your website and then they have to think about, is it worth giving you some information? Is it worth doing more than just reading for 5 seconds and jumping? Right? That visit to consideration is one of the first most important gaps you must cross. Because if your website, your landing page, that first 7 seconds of exposure to them doesn't instantly get them to go, oh, I get what you're doing, this is cool, you're not going to get the whole rest of the flywheel to happen this time. Now, one benefit of the fact that everybody has 8,000 different things in their head all the time right now is it's pretty rare to have somebody see you, decide not to go further through this flywheel now, and then remember 3 months later, oh, those guys, no, they weren't the right fit. If they see a new message, they see a new way to present you, they may well come back again. So part of this iteration is you want to measure each of these pieces through this whole funnel. Because if you don't measure it, you can't improve it, right? What's the top? What's the beginning of this flywheel to exposure? What's the top of this experience for people? And then what brings people to visit you? On paid media, you have much control over, and other media, you don't really. From visit to consideration, this is on a web property you own. You should very much be able to see, what's my bounce rate? How many folks spend more than 5 seconds or 30 seconds on my website? How many folks click more than once? And then from consideration, they have to make a choice now and go, this seems interesting. Let me give you my email address. Let me sign up for a free trial. Let me take a demo. There's going to be some action you want them to take where they have to trust you enough to give you their contact information and either use your product or sign up for a wait list. You have to make the end of that consideration process where it seems so obvious, such a good offer. Sure, I'll try this out. What have I got to lose? These exposures, these first impressions people have to you, there's basically three ways you can construct, particularly in the beginning, you can construct how you want people to find you. You can do direct, right? It's cold email, it's paid ads, that's going to a forum like, Indie Hackers, or hopping on Slack with Indie Worldwide and saying, hey, let me message people, right? Direct. Branding is just, I'm going to occupy a space in the market and people will know this about me if I become prominent enough. And then content is specific focused content out there that you want folks to find on YouTube or TikTok or Google or whatever it is. When they search for something, they will discover you. Or when other people share it, they will discover you. All three of those you have direct control over. Now, how it spreads, you don't necessarily. But as you're thinking about building your brand, your content, your messaging, how you want to approach people directly, think about all three steps in that beginning of the attract cycle. You want to make sure you don't send an email, for example, with a very, very high open rate subject line that has nothing to do with your business, right? Because then you've gotten maybe the first part of that funnel. You've answered, oh, I got open rates. I got 30% open rate. Phenomenal. If you get 0% click, you have failed at that message. So don't optimize for the wrong part of this. Optimize for the whole journey. So once you've finished the attract, you want to take measure of each of these steps, right? You need to fill your brain with all of the numbers, all of the statistics around this many exposures brought me this many visits. This many visits brought me this much consideration. This much consideration brought me this much sign up, this much lead capture, this much information in my company. All of these numbers are what determine the success or failure of your business here in the early stage. So you need to instrument Google Analytics. You need to have, and everyone tends to build Google Analytics. You build it on your brochure website, right? You've got a WordPress website. You build Google Analytics, you're done. And that will get you the whole attract side of things. But once they're in your product, if you don't build an analytics to begin, you won't have the information you need to keep filling your brain through the rest of this journey. Because once you've gotten them to come into your product, then you have to get them to buy, right? And that's the middle of this journey. There's three different parts, and here we are in the fourth of all these parts. Right? Because once they buy, most of us here are going to be talking about a subscription, or maybe it's an online purchase through e-commerce. But either way, once they buy, they're really at the middle of their journey on that flywheel, because there's two outcomes once they buy. Right? If they're on a monthly subscription, they subscribe for a month, they never use you, they churn. You put all this effort into getting your messaging, bringing somebody to your site, having them convert, having them give you their credit card information, paying for 1 month and then they yeet out. That's a waste of all the effort you had to bring them to this decision. So you have to figure out, how do you onboard them? How do you make them actually experience the value of what you have to offer as quickly as they can? Then once you've onboarded them, they have to continue to use your product. Use of your product, or lack thereof, is going to be a very strong leading indicator for how long someone's going to remain a client, how often they will repurchase, and the long-term value they will bring you, not just as a client, but as somebody who will be an evangelist for you. Because here in your earliest days, you don't want 1,000 customers who, fine, they kind of use you and they're happy enough. If you can get 50 customers who are delighted and will tell other people how awesome you are, that is worth way more than 1,000 customers who kind of pay you until they remember to cancel it. Those customers aren't valuable for you, and you want to focus on onboarding and encouraging use for the people who will be happiest, most thrilled, most delighted about what you're doing, because then you have to retain these people, right? Get them past that first purchase, maybe get them into an upsell, maybe get them to expand their purchase with you. And then finally, what brings you back to the top of this flywheel again is they've stuck around for a while. Maybe they've increased, they're buying a larger subscription than they had been, and they tell other people about you. Because when they tell other people about you, that begins an exposure back into visit and consider. So this whole flywheel has 9 distinct points where you want to be measuring. And each of these measurements you want to have as the founder, as the beginner, as the person who's running things here at the start. You need to understand what these metrics are, if they're going up or if they're going down. Now, in the beginning, you won't have perfect insight into all, or maybe even most of this. In the beginning, if you focus on attract, you've at least figured out how to bring people to you. That's the start in building a business. Each stage of this, every single one of these 9 decision points, that's a lever you can change. You can make an iteration point on what a visit looks like, right? Your landing page. You can make an iteration on, how do I get people to upsell? Do I change my pricing? Can I offer loyalty rewards if somebody stays longer to get them to re-up? How do I incentivize people to share? Do I make a button in my product? Do I ask folks to share? Do I do a reviews campaign with Capterra to try and get people to review me on a third-party website? There are many different tools you have here. And as you look at each of these 9 pieces, systematically considering, what is it doing? Is it better than it used to be? How do I improve it? Is a big part of building that flywheel to be the strongest flywheel you can make it. This is not just a conceptual team, right? This is a conceptual model. This is a team. This is marketing. This is sales. This is customer success. It's all driven by your product. Now, right now, most of us probably don't have a distinct marketing, sales, customer success, and product team. We're all wearing many hats. But as you think about, one, if I grow the company, if we're being successful, these handoffs have to work. And 2 is, when I'm building my product, all of these functions must spin around it and must be powered by it. Marketing can bring you people. If your product doesn't actually take them and get them to where they convert into a sale, then you're out of luck. Marketing and sales can bring you people and close the deal, but if your product doesn't do what they were promised they would get, they will all churn then, and customer success can't take things any further. Think of all of those 9 decision inflection points in your growth cycle as core to your product as you build your product. A few things to consider here. You can't just do this once and go, okay, now I know enough. I've gotten a single point of data. I'm cool, right? No. You need to gather enough data where you have statistically relevant information that will help you make good choices. Don't get 1 week of data, get 10. Don't have 1 customer interview, have 20. You need to have enough information where you have confidence in the validity of the information you've gathered. This isn't easy. So you're looking at this now, you're like, oh my goodness, 9 different metrics to take, to keep in my head, 9 different metrics to track, have to worry about implementing every single stage of this. How do I tool for this? What's going on? It can be overwhelming. It's worth keeping in mind small, constant application of effort will get you much further than going bananas for a week and then being like, ugh, I'm exhausted. I'm never going to market this thing again. So look at how you break the big problem of I need these nine different pieces of information. I need to be able to move these levers and improve and see what's working and what's not working and break it down into small pieces of work you can tackle systematically. The three key numbers I tend to look at, right? What's my conversion rate from a, first, am I getting enough traffic, right? Are people coming? If people aren't coming, you can't make a business happen. If people are coming, what's my conversion from those people into actual signups of some kind? And then CAC over ARPU, that's cost to acquire a customer over average revenue per user, which probably should be average revenue per customer, but whatever. You want to know, in general, the money I make from a signup should be 3x or more what it costs to acquire them. If you're not seeing that, odds are your business is going to have a hard time scaling and you want to keep working until you can. And then finally, if this is a SaaS model, how many people every week who signed up and trialed or signed up and demoed or signed up and paid, how many churn, right? And any given week, you want to have measurements for that cohort, because if you make changes in your product, it will affect how long people stay around. And if they are at a high likelihood to churn for a particular reason and you can fix it, then you should be able to see the later cohorts stick around longer. And you want to know if your product changes have made a benefit to your retention numbers. These are kind of the products that I use as I'm instrumenting this whole flywheel, right? Google Analytics is a pretty easy one. Clearbit is to get you lead enrichment data. If you're doing B2B on B2C side, it's not worth it. On B2C side, it's really hard to enrich the data anyway. In addition, there's, of course, alternatives to all of these companies if you look around. Segment is pretty good for connecting a whole bunch of different data together from different sources. You can also use Google Tag Manager. ProfitWell, if you're on a recurring revenue model, has a pretty cool tool to let you see how your revenue is doing. They have a whole agency that tries to sell you paid products as well, but at the beginning stages, it's great to just get information. And then some type of CRM. I've used HubSpot for a decade, so I like it, but there's many, many more out there. When you have all these pieces together, you begin to have a picture of the whole life cycle of from that first step on the flywheel all the way to the renewal of somebody else brought people back. And you really want to have tools for that rather than try to write this yourself. A few things to keep in mind here. All of us have started something knowing it's not easy. All of us have started something knowing most people can't do it successfully. By giving you mental models, breaking things down into small steps you can tackle, I hope I made this part of things a little less scary and a little more systematic so you can see. But if it were easy, everyone would do this, right? So it is hard. Stick with it. If you are passionate and disciplined both, you will eventually succeed. You will fail first. That's not a bug, that's a feature. I've mentioned I've launched 40 companies, 13 of them made it to north of 2 million a year in revenue. The first couple I launched back in 2005, I augured them all straight into the ground. I didn't know what I was doing because I'd been promoted well outside my competence. And over time I learned. Tough for them. Good for people who I've been working with later. You have your company. You make smaller bets, right? Don't bet everything on a 22-year-old marketer. You're running your company. Make a small bet. Is this the right message or is this the right message? And you'll be wrong most of the time, and that's okay, because next week or 2 weeks from now, you can try again. This is a good thing because you're iterating your way into success. But if you don't have right numbers, or if somebody in your team is running this for you and they're not telling you the truth, you cannot make the right choices. It can feel very depressing to be on week 7 of a string of failed experiments where nothing's working. And if you go, oh, this time it did work because you're sick of failure, and you lie and you say, great, this is what we're going to do more of, you're not actually going to succeed. That honesty is the critical component to successful iteration. Keep that in mind for you and for anybody you're working with. if a co-founder is like, man, why does everything always suck? How come nothing works? It'd be like, we have to get through all of this to get to where success lies. That's the foolproof framework, right? As you go through each of these three stages and go through those inflection points, make your way into success, this will work. It is simple. Simple doesn't mean easy. I believe that if you are systematic about your approach, if you keep the energy up, if you keep your passion going, you will succeed. And I would love to hear how it works for you in the future. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, I would love to answer them.